Good day, everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. And today, we are live. So if you're listening on the audio internet stream or any other way, just come on over to firstamendmentradio.net, click on the chat room button and there and join us. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. We do this live once a week. We turn on the studio cam and we engage the culture, the audience, and maybe the news. I'm not going to talk about the shooting in Las Vegas. I think that's already being talked about to death. So we're going to move on to other things. Scripture verse. Let's do that first. Our scripture verse for the day. In Acts 3:22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people." Today we're going to talk about who is the false prophet. That'll be our topic, main topic for the hour. We're going to talk about other things. I've got some emails. I've got a question already in the chat room, which I will address. But we're going to jump to who is the false prophet and how do we know? What does God's word say about it? So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And also in the second hour, we're going to go into part 20 of History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter. Okay. Well, I guess first we're going to take the question in the chat room to get beyond that. And this is something I have a post somewhere in my website about, if you go to my Bible studies page, I believe it's there at crosstheborder.org. There's like a 19 or 20 part series on betrothal, marriage, and divorce. I mean, it covers the entire topic. So if you have any questions about it, you should listen to that entire study, because I go through the whole Bible and we cover, leaves no stone unturned. Even some stones we did not want to turn over, we turned them over. Okay? Now, honestly, I've been married three times. Yeah, three times. And my my last wife died. So I'm now a widower, and I don't know if I'll ever get married again. I guess God's going to have to send her to my door because I'm not out there seeking it. That's just way too much trouble at my time of life right now. Not that I don't miss the companionship, the intimacy, and all the good things that come with marriage. But boy, getting there is difficult. Yeah. And Dickinson put a question in the chat room. He says, "What is your view on remarrying if you get divorced?" Well, if you get divorced, if you put away a wife, Jesus kind of holds you to a high standard, because he says, if you unlawfully divorce a wife, or if a woman unlawfully leaves her husband and remarries, she's committing adultery. And he tells the women, Paul says to the women specifically, if you leave your husband, you either be reconciled or remain single. And that's a pretty stringent standard. And so what do you do if you came to Christ afterwards? Or, you know, God honors repentance. I mean, that's why I put the comment about David in the chat room. You know, God honored David's marriage to Bathsheba. Now look what David did. Okay, in Israel, a man was allowed to have multiple wives, and David did. As a matter of fact, God gave David those multiple wives. Okay, but we won't go there today. But God murders Bathsheba's husband. Not directly, he didn't stab him in the back or shoot him in the head. But he sent him to the front of the battle where he would likely get killed, and he did. And then he took and he married Was his marriage legal? Well, yes, it was. Was the murder legal? Well, no, it wasn't. Because you can marry a dead man's wife because she's no longer married. Her husband is dead. She's released to be remarried. And so his marriage was legal, but the way he got to that marriage was unlawful according to God's law. So if God can forgive that, he can forgive us. And if you divorce your wife or your husband unlawfully, and of course you wouldn't be doing this unlawful thing if you were walking right with God, if you were walking in His kingdom. A lot of people call themselves Christians, but they aren't walking in God's kingdom because they haven't really made Him Lord. They call Him Lord, but He's not. And we've all been there. We've all done that at some time in our life. And so you get remarried in the world, and then you find out, you repent, you find out that what you did was wrong, that the way you left your first marriage was unlawful. Is God going to forgive that and honor your subsequent marriage? Well, I can't, you know, there's no blanket answer to this. The blanket answer is that God does, He does honor second and third marriages, even if the prior ones were unlawful. I mean, the prior divorces or separations were unlawful. God can honor that. But you can't plan that, okay? Because God is forgiving. So, and as far as, say he brought up Kent Hovind, amen. Kent should be able to marry again. There's no problem with that. His wife unlawfully left him. He was the victim in the marriage. Now, can I understand in wife's side, her husband's in prison, he's a lunatic for Jesus, or at least he's gone over the edge and opposing the government or whatever, and the whole family abandoned Kent. But I can definitely understand Kent Hovind getting married again. My first two wives abandoned me. They left. You know, that's a cause for divorce because they're withholding, you know, their part in the marriage. And the same thing, there are many reasons for dissolving a marriage that are lawful. You know, if a husband's beating his wife and she has to flee, that's lawful because he's abandoned the marriage, so to speak. He's turned it into a slave, not even a good slave owner relationship, because a good owner wouldn't beat his slaves. He would treat them lovingly, you know, as treasured and prized possessions at least. So anyway, I'm not going to go any deeper into that, but yes, I hope that answers the question. Wacky says, I'm divorced in the chat room. I am divorced and remarried. My first husband was unfaithful and abandoned me. There you go. And yeah, if someone abandons the marriage, then you're free to remarry. You know, of course, you can't make them abandon the marriage. You can't push them into abandoning the marriage. But God is merciful and He's kind and He is forgiving. And He does honor second marriages. I wouldn't worry about it. If I get married again, a fourth marriage, wow. You know, after my most recent wife died, I'm sure God would honor it. Not a problem. He says, because of the hardness of your hearts. That's what Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees who were questioning Him, or whoever it was that was questioning, that God allowed divorce. So God does allow it. It is sanctioned, but it's not something that God likes. He says that He hates it. I hate it too. Okay, but I'm gonna just leave it there because I could go on for hours about marriage, but I do have that study. If you can't find it on my website, leave a comment on my Bible studies page. Say, where is that link? If you can't find it there. To the marriage betrothal marriage and divorce study. And, boy, it's one exhaustive study. I should probably turn it into a book, but we'll leave it at that for now. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. There's a lot of good reasons there. Nana says, her husband sexually abused the children and we were both Christian. Yeah, that's, Yes. Do, yeah. Many, many reasons for divorce. So glad this came up. Divorce and remarriage. It's plagued me for years. Well, Wacky, you should get my study too. Let's get on to our next. I got a couple emails that I wanted to address here. Let's see. I'm going to go back to Guido Medina, and I think he's from Europe somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. A new supporter of First Amendment Radio and this broadcast, I say. And he asked me a question. He says, I'm not sure he's in the chat room though today, but he says, here's some interesting link, and I guess I should put that on the screen too. And that way you can see it. No, I won't put it on because it has his email address. Okay, I'll get rid of the email address first. No, I can't get rid of it. Okay, well anyway, he says, here's some interesting link I found about the Mark of the Beast. I thought it was some BS at first, but the foundation, as you read through the link, is really strong. And he sent me a link to BibleLight.net. Here, I'll put that on the screen so you can all see it in case you're watching the broadcast. Otherwise, just keep listening. Or if you're listening live, go to the chat room at FirstAmendmentRadio.net. And there's a little YouTube live streaming box in the right-hand column. Okay, and this is BibleLight.net/666HTM. And it says, Vicarious Field ID 666, number of the beast. And I looked at all this. It's all good stuff. I have no problem with it at all. Historically, it lines up with what I've learned from, you know, historicism's greats. And so there's a lot of good information here. It's no wacky stuff. It even goes into some other alternative stuff, the word antichrist and things like that, the words vicarious and vicar and so on. So there's a lot of good stuff there. So, Guido, I do agree with that. Not a problem. Okay. And I don't want to go through it all, but it's there in case anyone wants it. I'll just even put a link in the chat room. That way you can look at it later. You know, after the show. And I do have a couple other emails that I want to address. Let's see. Where do I find that? Okay, here it is. Paste. And Wacky says, please give us that Bible study link on divorce remarriage. Well, I'm not going to see this, and I'll probably forget it later. You have to put a comment on my website, on the Bible studies page, and then I will get an email notification and I will take care of it. And you will get an answer to, because I'll put a comment in the chat room saying, here's the link. And you'll get an email saying, here's your comment was answered. Okay? Because right now I've got 2 hours of stuff to do and I'll forget all about it later, Wacky. So please put the comment on my website on the Bible studies page. And that way everyone will be. And I probably should post it as a posting. Yeah. Okay. So you can remind me to do that. Okay. Let's see. I had another email. Let me go back to my email box here and scroll up or down or whichever way it was. I've got two here. These are two from the same guy. So I hope that this is about prophecy. So now we're getting on topic here. 20 minutes into the broadcast. And then the second half, I'm going to talk about who is the false prophet. I've identified the false prophet, so if you want to know who the false prophet is, stick around, and I'm going to show you in God's Word who the false prophet is. Let's cover these emails quickly. Well, 6 or 7 minutes anyway that we have. Now this guy, he's been emailing me because he emailed me on my postings on First Amendment Radio YouTube page. I was doing The Last Prophecy, and I titled it The Historical Revelation, and Part 19, and he sends me this thing. And he says, the rapture takes place in context of a full moon and a third of the stars falling from the firmament to earth. Let me try and put that on the screen. October 5th, 2017, moments after 1840 UTC. So he's got it down to moments. Moments after, whatever. Oh, look at that little picture of me. That's really on the, I forgot to zoom in there. Okay. The sun will turn black and the moon will become blood red at 1840 UTC. So I said, on October 5th, oh, that's tomorrow. The world's going to end. You know, it was supposed to end on last Saturday. That was the 23rd of September, I think, if I remember correctly. Last Saturday? Oh, wait a minute. That was, yeah, last Saturday was September 23rd. Yeah, that's right. Last Saturday, the world was supposed to end. Everybody got all excited. And I did a broadcast, what, 6 weeks ago? Or was it in, I think it was in January. And I said, that's not going to happen. These people have no clue how to interpret scripture. You know, it's not astrology. It's not a book of astrology. You don't go, you know, oh, look at the symbols. They look astrological. And so now we got to wait for this alignment in the stars. It's not astronomy or astrology. It's not how you interpret the revelation. And so I told people that it was false prophecy then, that this was not going to happen. So September 23rd came, September 23rd went. Now here's another guy's telling me October. And yesterday, Generations guys, Kevin Swanson did a show on false prophecy, and they were kind of making fun of, well, you know, nothing happened on Saturday and stuff like that. I think that was their Tuesday broadcast. And they were talking about false prophecy too. So, and they said, oh, the end of the world's in October now. Well, it wasn't in September. It must be October. So all of these people date setting, it's just, you know, since the Great Disappointment, it like kicked off the date setting thing in about 1844 when the Great Disappointment happened, and Jesus didn't come, and there was no rapture or resurrection. I don't think they were using the word rapture in 1844. I think it was just developing then. The whole rapture eschatology was just developing. But you know, if you want to know true history and true prophecy, well, then you have to know true history and true prophecy. So you know, I'm going to tell you, you should get this book. It's called The Last Prophecy in Tori Apocalypticae, 2015. This is a republished abridgment of EBL. It's 2,500 page, 4 volume work on the Revelation. Good place to start. And this is our republished, updated version, published by Cross the Border Publishing. So you should get a copy of that. Another good historicist publication is The Key to the Apocalypse. You'll see there that these books on my website. And you can get these in pocketbook editions for about $10 a piece, shipped to your door. And I often put up free shipping posts on my website. So when you see the free shipping, wait for it and take advantage of it. They have a special deal that they do like a couple times a month, 10% off and free shipping to boot. So you should get that. And then you should stick around for the second hour. And when we're going through history unveiling prophecy or time as interpreter, these are great classical historicist works. Will give you a better idea of how to understand history and prophecy and put it together. Now, God gave us prophecy, so to authenticate His work. To authenticate His word as His word, because only God knows the beginning from the end. He saw it all before it happened. He holds it all in His hands. He already created the end. He created at the same time He created the beginning. Creation isn't an ongoing thing. God already created it all. You see, that's hard to conceive for us mere mortals. You know, living on our three-dimensional plane where we're traveling through time. You know, we're in a timeline and we're on the timeline. And that's all we can see is that. But we can conceptualize what we can't see. And that God holds the entire creation from beginning to end in His hands. And He sees it all. He can look at any part He wants from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And, you know, that's a little more than I can comprehend, but, you know, I understand the concept, and so do you. God gave us the capacity to understand that which we cannot comprehend. just so that we'd know that we need him and that his word is true. Now, the futurists would have you believe that the entire book of Revelation, nothing has been fulfilled in that yet. So God is not authenticating his word for 2,000 years. He did up until the time of Jesus, but that's old stuff for us. I mean, you know, all we have is, you know, is historical written evidence. We can't go, we have some archaeological evidence that, you know, some of those things happened or those places existed, but can't really touch that. But now, hey, if it's an ongoing revelation or, you know, history is unveiling prophecy as it happens for us, well, that's a different story. I can see it as an ongoing thing. And that's what the futurists deny you. As a matter of fact, the futurists say, we have the truth and we don't even have to verify it because we can't verify it because none of it has happened yet. So you just have to take our word for it that our version of prophecy is true, even though none of it is verified. Absolutely none of it. It's all speculative. It's all going to be happening in the future, but you'll see after it happens. Oh, by the way, if you're a true Christian, you won't be here while it's happening because you're going to be raptured out before anything happens. Boy, that's some slick sales stuff going on there, I'll tell you. That's pretty slick sales. And then they tell you that all of the bad things, all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation is going to happen. So you must buy your rapture ticket. Otherwise, look what you're going to get caught in. And nobody wants to be caught up in that. So you better buy the rapture and be, oh, yeah, I want to be raptured. That's for sure. Okay, well, you're listening to Prophecy Reality. And we're going to talk about the false prophet when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce, in the minds of all, this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org,
To get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And as promised, we're going to talk about the identity of the false prophet. You know, they have a saying, in order to know that which is false, you must first know that which is true. And there's an example or an illustration of this. I bring up the fact that they used to train treasury agents how to spot counterfeit money. And they didn't show them counterfeit money and say, well, this is counterfeit and this is counterfeit. They didn't show them 1,000 types of counterfeited money. That would be the wrong way to teach them how to spot counterfeit money by looking at it, because that would only confuse them. What they taught them was the true money. That's right. They studied real money. And that way, when they saw a counterfeit, all they would need to know is that it's not real. Okay? So if you want to know what the false is, you have to study the real. And that's why we study the Word of God. And so if we want to know who the false prophet is, we have to know who the true prophet is, don't we? And if we study the true prophet, then we know the false prophet when he shows up. Does that make any sense? So here's what we want to do. We want to look at God's Word. You can look up the word false prophet and you'll find it, I think, once or twice in the Revelation. But everybody makes a big deal. I know the false prophet is thrown into the lake of fire in the Revelation. And I think that's one of the times. I think maybe twice you might find the term false prophet or the false prophet. So who is this false prophet? Who is the false prophet? Well, let's see what the scripture has to say about the true prophet. And of course, our opening scripture had something to do with it. So I'm going to put that back on the screen here. And that is in Acts 3. And 3:20 says, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this true prophet, okay, and then he quotes Moses. I believe this is Peter speaking. Peter or James, one of those guys in Acts. I don't remember who. It's not important for our discussion here. He says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him ye shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. So he's calling Jesus a prophet. Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me. So Jesus is like Moses, a prophet like Moses. Okay? And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. And here it is, that prophet. Who is that prophet? Well, he would be the true prophet, the one that God said, the one that all of the prophets since the world began. I mean, beginning with the Genesis account where Adam and Eve received the prophecy of the seed of the woman. Yeah, foretelling that the seed of the woman is that prophet that would come and save the people from their sins. And let's see, commentary. Here we go. This is from Henry. He tells them what they must believe. They must believe that Jesus Christ is the promised seed. See, he agrees with me that it's the seed. The same one that was promised in Genesis chapter 3. Yeah. Moses said that talking about the same one, that Jesus is the promised seed. You have a typo here in the Henry's commentary. Promised seed, it says. Kind of threw me for a loop and made me think of the holy seed, the papal, whatever, but that's a typo, it should say. That seed in which God had told Abraham all the kindreds of the earth should be blessed. This refers to that promise made to Abraham, which promise was long ere it was fulfilled, but now at length had its accomplishment in this Jesus, who was the seed of Abraham, according to the flesh, and in him all the families of the earth are blessed, and not the families of Israel only. All have some benefits by him, and some have all benefits. They must believe that Jesus Christ is a prophet, that prophet like unto Moses, whom God had promised to raise up to them from among their brethren. This refers to that promise. Christ is a prophet, Deuteronomy 18. Christ is a prophet, for by him God speaks unto us. In him all divine revelation centers. I love that. In him all divine revelation centers. The spirit of prophecy, it says in the Revelation, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why this prophecy program, prophecy reality, is different. You know, that's our core belief. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? Christ is a prophet, for by him God speaks unto us. In him all divine revelation centers. And by him it is handed to us. He is a prophet like unto Moses. And on it goes. You can check that out. Henry's commentary on Acts chapter 3. Okay. And then I did a little search on that prophet. Okay. And that shows up in John several times. Okay. Thou shalt not hearken. Is it that prophet? Okay. When that's different. Ezekiel, John. Here we are, New Testament. Now, this is John the Baptist being questioned because he's baptizing. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? He said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? See, that's the prophet. That prophet. Of course, referring to the words of Moses. That prophet. They didn't have a name for him. That prophet. He was the Messiah. That's the prophet. And he answered, no, of course, John the Baptist was not. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou not be that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Are we getting closer here to who the true prophet is? Okay, so if we can identify the true prophet, one last here, those men, when they had seen that miracle that Jesus said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So who is the true prophet? That is the antithesis of the false prophet. And there's your answer right there. Okay? Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, he is the true prophet. Therefore, who is the false prophet? Well, the false prophet, if Jesus is the Christ, then the false prophet must be the Antichrist, or the man of sin, the man who sits in the seat of the papacy, is the singular false prophet. Also, the false prophet, like the man of God, can be a line of men. Because someone could look at me and they're going, that man of God, he's that, the man of God over there in that town or in the foothills over there. I mean, you could hope I could refer to you as that man of God or that woman of God that's in my chat room, that one there. See, the papacy is a line. The Antichrist, the man of sin, is a lineage. A lot of people like to argue about, oh, there's many Antichrists. Well, that's true, but there's only one man of sin. But it's a line of men of sin. And that false prophet would be the antithesis of the true prophet. So we've identified using the scripture who the false prophet is. And so you can just throw out all the speculation of all the futurists. And because we've identified who the true prophet is by the scripture itself. And see, this is how we understand God's word, by God's word. Every word, if you want to understand, well, what does that word mean? Well, you look up where it's used and you understand how it's used in each context. And you say, okay, which context is this? And it should line up with what it's used for in those other contexts of that Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek word in the Textus Receptus. So the Bible is its own dictionary. The Bible is its own interpreter. And the best English version we have is the authorized King James Version. That's the version you should be using. And we've talked about that in my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built. I go through Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks prophecy, and I show you how perverted, how they have perverted Daniel, the 70 weeks prophecy, so much that it is unintelligible, such that it makes no sense. And the only reason that they confused it like that is so that you would not identify the He as Christ, excuse me, as Christ the Messiah. Because they want you to think it's the Antichrist when it is the. Yeah. Ah. My words were getting stuck in my throat there. Had to get a little liquid there. But so we have identified the false prophet of Revelation by understanding who the true prophet is. Can you get anything else from the scripture? I cannot. And if you think you got a good argument, well, bring it to me. Maybe you'll change my mind. But it's unlikely. Unless you can do it with God's word, then you can't do it at all. Okay. Any comments, questions, anything in the chat room going on? I do have a phone number. You can call me. Oh, let's see. Naughty Pine says, yes, this rescue of the bride guy has been hitting my videos as well. Naughty Pines in the chat room, she says, September 30th is Yom Kippur. It was supposed to happen that day too. Every week someone comes up. See, I'm going to tell you something. There is no rapture. You know, my first book was way here at the bottom. I said, the rapture will be canceled. It has to be canceled. When the third temple is built, and they're going to cancel the pre-tribulation rapture, they have no choice. It's going to be canceled on them. It's not like, you know, they're going to write a book. Well, we're canceling it. And we're delaying it. We're canceling it until 3.5 years later. No, they're just going to go. They're just going to go, well, we were wrong. It's the mid-trib position, you know. So all of the pre-tribbers are going to become mid-tribbers. Yeah, after they start building the temple. You got to get my book. I wrote this for you. If you don't understand this, or for all of your futurist friends who don't get it, you know, this little book here, if you want to get quantities of these, email me and I can get these to you at my cost. They're like $3 a copy, delivered to your door. So like if you want to get 10 of them or something, you can do that. Okay. Let's see, house, the prophet we must hear and obey. Okay, thank you for that, house. Let me check this. Someone put a link. If you put links in the chat room, divorced, reformed, and remarried. Okay, well, that might be a good study for you. Divorce is worse than death. I agree with that. When a spouse dies, whoever hasn't left the other unwillingly, yeah, perhaps the death. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's probably a lot of good stuff out there on divorce and remarriage. But there's no study like my, betrothal, marriage and divorce study. I'd be hard pressed to find one like it. Okay, well, now I got 10 minutes left before the next session begins. And don't know what else to talk about. I should learn to drag things out and talk a lot about a lot of irrelevant side issues, right? A lot of the prophecy books I get, that's what they are. They're just like, how many pages can I write? People do not get to the point. That's why I have a hard time writing a book. You know, I get 100 pages written and I go, well, I've already said everything I want to say, you know. Or so there's a lot of these prophecy books like I get, like I'll show you some. I got a lot of prophecy books. Like this one here and this one here. This one here, this one's called The Spirit of Prophecy by some Daniel Seasonak or something like that. And it just goes on and on. The guy has an opinion about everything on earth in this book. But he's wrong. He's mostly a futurist. It says a groundbreaking new analysis of the Bible's end time prophecies, second edition. You know, you can see I put a lot of markers in there. I look at all this stuff and, you know, just to see what people are writing about and what their, you know, ideas are. And you go, well, you know, that one was, and then this one here, the rapture question. We got, I don't know, 300 pages. And I went through this one and I retitled it The Rapture Without Question. Very famous author here, John F. Wolvert. He was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary. You'd think he'd know what he was talking about. But he starts with assumptions, never addresses assumptions, never questions the assumptions. That's why I retitled it The Rapture Question, The Rapture Without Question. And I got this book because I respect John MacArthur, you know, because he's right on a lot of things. What he says about Catholics is right on. But then it all goes out the window when it comes to the rapture and futurism. That's right. And he says, if you really want to, because he accepts it all without question, too. He says, well, if you really want to understand the rapture, you need to get this book, The Rapture Question. So I got the book and I did a two-part series called The Rapture Without Question. And 50 reasons, 50 whatever. Anyway, you can check that posting out on my website, The Rapture Without Question. And I think 50 reasons for the pre-tribulation rapture or something. I answer all 50 of their supporting reasons that it's going to happen. And it's all nonsense. Like I said, it's the rapture without question. They just accept they accept the assumptions, which are based upon conjecture and not to be questioned. You cannot question the assumptions. We only start the debate after the assumptions are accepted. Well, I want to question the assumptions first. And then maybe there is no debate. Yeah. That's right. Because that's all this book does is it debates itself. Based after accepting the assumptions without question. Hey, we have a caller. Let's see. Make this thing work. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike from Akron, Ohio.
Good to talk to you again, Mike.
Good to talk to you, too. I've been busy and missed a couple of weeks. But we've talked about this before, but I was wondering if you could clarify your position on the resurrection when Christ returns, because to me that's equivalent to a post, and I think you're correct, but to me that's equivalent to a post-tribulation rapture.
Yeah, and you know that's what I used to think.
I'll hang up, but if you could just comment on that.
Okay, Mike, thank you for the question.
All right, thank you.
Okay, well that's a good question. In the 90s, I came to the conclusion there was no pre-tribulation rapture, so I became a post-tribulation rapturist. And many people equate the post-tribulation rapture as being the same as the resurrection. Okay? Now, I talk about this in my book. That's why I don't know if you've read this book, Mike, When the Third Temple is Built. If you haven't read it, you should ask for a copy of it by going to my free ebook tab there, and you can request any of our publications there that we have in PDF form, and all of the four that you see on the on our sidebar page there, the books, you can ask for any of those. And I cover that, and I go through a scenario. But here's the reason why the post-tribulation rapture is not the same thing as the resurrection. One, because there is no seven-year tribulation, period, outlined in the scripture immediately immediately preceding the return of Christ. Okay? There is going to be 7 years, which will precede the return of Christ. That has to happen. But the tribulation of those days, spoken of in Matthew chapter 24, is now. And it will go on until Christ returns. And it will exceed 7 years. I don't think we can wrap this thing up in 7 years. Okay? And when they start building the temple, now see, the futurists have got themselves into a bind. Okay? Because they say that when they start to build the temple, that's when the tribulation, 7 year tribulation, begins. And they will be raptured. And if they're not raptured at the beginning, then it's mid-trib. And if they're not raptured in mid-trib, then it's post-trib. But what if 7 years goes by and we're all still here and the resurrection hasn't happened yet? Is it still post-trib? No. Because the tribulation period is only 7 years, and the three raptures have gone by. Now I'm still waiting for the resurrection, because I'm not expecting any rapture. Okay? The great hope of the church has always been the resurrection. The great hope of the church in the first century, before Christ, during Christ, after Christ, ever since Christ walked on the earth, the great hope has been the resurrection. Okay? Now, the rapture has been the great hope of many people since about 1830. See, that's the new kid on the block. Okay? And so they've got people to believe that the rapture is synonymous with the resurrection. And in the minds of many, it is. And that's why when I tell them the raptures will be canceled, they think I'm saying that the resurrection will be canceled. No, the resurrection will never be canceled. It will happen on God's timing, not on a seven-year tribulation futurist time table. And so let's say that you start building the temple next year. Yeah, next year, 2018. Okay, that would kick off the tribulation, I mean the seven-year tribulation deception. I'm going to just call it a deception. But that would kick it off, and nobody's going to be raptured. Honestly, you can take my word on it. Just like I know what a real money looks like. You know, I know what the truth is. Therefore, when the false shows up, I immediately identify it as not true. Okay? So there will be no pre-tribulation rapture. And 3.5 years will pass. There will be no mid-trib. 7 years will pass. There would be no post-trib rapture. Raptures will be gone. And so, let's say 2025, the 7 years pass, no one's raptured. And let's say Jesus doesn't come, the seventh millennium doesn't start until about 2055. So we got 30 years after their tribulation deception, their 7 year period, before the resurrection. Is it post-trib? Is it a post-trib? Well, of course it's post-trib, because it says in Matthew chapter 24, it says, after the tribulation of those days. So the resurrection is post-trib, but it's not post-seven-year tribulation, according to the futurists. Get it? And it's not a rapture, it's a resurrection. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. We're just running out of time here. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe to my blog. Take advantage of the free ebook offer there. Get my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built. And then after you read it, leave a review on Amazon, then ask for the next book. Ask for, History Unveiling Prophecy, which we're going into the next hour. Ask for The Last Prophecy or Key to the Apocalypse. all free for the asking, or you can purchase them by going to the Get the Book tab. Okay, may the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom day by day.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.